they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. You hear God speaking that tenderly to you today. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What does it mean to wait on the Lord?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And we can't let a question like that just hang out there, Colin.
What does it mean
to wait on the Lord?
Well, you know, we were looking in the program last time at leaning into what you know about God and leaning into what you know about yourself. That's what's in this scripture. It reminds us who we are so that we don't have unreasonable expectations of ourselves. We do run and we experience faintness. We get run down.
Yeah.
But we are to lean into who God is, the inexhaustible God. And in taking in who he is and who we are, that's where hope is found, and it's found in him. And that's where we're headed in the program today. Not only the looking at who we are and who God is, but the taking hold of the hope that is found in Jesus Christ.
Well, no better place for us to start than by opening up your copy of the Bible to Isaiah chapter 40 as we dive into this message, Collective Weariness. Here's Pastor Colin.
When you're tired and worn out, you really don't know how to answer God's questions, do you? God says, why are you saying this? Why are you thinking this? Lord, I don't know. I'm just worn out. I don't know how to answer. And so very wonderfully, God answers his own question. Thank God that when we don't know how to answer his questions, he does. And I want you to notice the answer that God himself very tenderly gives to us as he ministers to us to strengthen us in these passages of life. The answer really comes in two parts. Here's the first. Lean into the truth that you know. In a time of weariness, of jadedness, of feeling that the cumulative events of life are catching up with you, lean into the truth that you know, and first, in particular, the truth that you know about God. That's verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary, and his understanding is unsearchable. Now, here's a very important principle, that God reminds his people of what they already know, do you not know, and what they have often heard. So in these times, lean into what you know about God and lean into what you know about yourself. There's some a good dose of biblical reality in verses 29 and 30 with regards to ourselves. Look at the words that are used to describe us in these verses. 29, he gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths faint and are weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. There's the fourfold description of our human nature. Faint, no might, weary, fall exhausted. Healthy dose of biblical reality. That's us. And not only is that us in our frail humanity, but it is at our best in humanity. That's why it says, you see, even youths faint and are weary. Because youths have more energy, as we discover with every 10 years of our lives. Those who are younger are given the gifts of remarkable energy. Parents think they've got way too much energy and all the rest of it. But even youths are faint and are weary. And then notice this, God says, and young men shall fall exhausted. The phrase young men literally means picked men. And the image here is of an athlete in superb condition. And think of the Olympic selectors picking the team to represent the U.S. And here are these athletes, and they catch the eye of the selector, picked men. And so they're on the team because of their prowess. And so even human strength at its highest point, at its selected point, even picked men shall fall exhausted. So you look even at great athletes at the end of the marathon, the end of the Ironman or whatever it is, and you see they are weary and fall exhausted, and some look faint. And why is that? Because their bodies have been pushed to the very limit. And that's exactly what we're being told here, that there are limits to all human endurance. And that is why Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he pictures the human body as what? A tent. And you look at the fitness of younger people, and they're kind of like a tent set up real taut, and then you get older as the decades pass, and the ropes are beginning to sag. Does that picture work for you? You know, a little bit of a droop in the ridge, and... And he said, one day this tent's going to be torn down. It was never made for eternity. It's going to be a resurrection body for that. Now, what does all this tell us? Why is all this truth being given to us? For this reason, no Christian should be surprised at the experience of weariness. God has placed this treasure of Christ where? In jars of clay. And we live in this earthly tent that one day will be torn down, and the experience of weariness that may come to a Christian has come to the best of believers, the strongest of believers, David and Elijah, John the Baptist. And when it comes to you and when it comes to me, here's what we have to do. We have to lean into the truth that we already know, that God has made very clear to us in the Scripture. The truth about God, the truth about ourselves. John Calvin said so wonderfully on one occasion that nearly all the wisdom we can possess is in two parts, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves, and we never possess the one without the other. Very profound. And here God is saying to his people, now you need to lean into the truth of the knowledge of who you are and the knowledge of who God himself is. Here's what you know about God. He's your creator. He will never abandon you. He will never faint. He will not grow weary. And he works on a vast time scale so that what he is doing ultimately is beyond the range of what you can ever imagine. But don't even try. And here's what you need to know about yourself. You are not God. You are a created being with limits to your own strength and your own endurance. You will become weary. You will know what it is to feel spent and to feel exhausted, and that should never take you by surprise. So lean into the truth that you know. But that's not the whole answer. That's the first thing, and it's the necessary step that will get us to the second, which is this. Lay hold of the hope that you have. Lean into the truth that you know, and lay hold of the hope that you have. And again, this comes in two parts. Do you notice here that he gives us the gift of strength? He speaks about God giving, verse 29, and then he tells us about how to receive this gift. So the giving of the gift and the receiving of the gift, both very clear here. So lay hold of the hope that you have. Notice the gift of strength in verse 29. He gives. God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. That's a wonderful word. Gives, gives. He gives, God gives. So here we're reading about a particular action of God in relation to his own people at times when we feel discouraged, our strength depleted, our faith burning low. What does God do? He gives power. He increases strength, a particular action and work of God. How does God do this? Well, we've just read that God himself does not grow faint or grow weary, and the way in which he gives strength to the weary is that he gives us himself. The unwearying God, the Spirit of the God who never runs out of resource. And this is not, folks, I mean, this is not some kind of zapping with power that moves an exhausted Christian into instant bionic overdrive. I mean, it's not that. The effect of this renewing of strength that is the gift of God to his people is that God's people just keep pressing on. They keep running. They keep walking. They keep pressing on. And it's an amazing thing. If you want to know how it feels, let me give you two descriptions of it from the New Testament, from the experience of the Apostle Paul. This is what it was like for him, and so it's what it may feel like for you and for me as well. One description is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. This is where Paul talks about the treasure of Christ being placed in these jars of clay, this frail reality that is my life. And he says, this is what it's like. We are afflicted in every way. There's the stress, but we are not crushed. There's God giving the strength to continue. We are perplexed. There's the pressure, but we are not driven to despair. There's God renewing strength to keep going. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We're always carrying in our body the death of the Lord Jesus so that the life of the Lord Jesus may be revealed in us. That's the reality of Christian experience as God renews your strength. Another way in which Paul describes it is in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. He's been talking about ministry. He's been talking about his life's work, he says, and the life's work of the church. He says, we proclaim him. That's what we do. We proclaim Jesus Christ. And what's it like doing that? Well, he says in the next verse, for this I toil. Literally, the word is hard labor. For this I toil. And notice the next word, struggling. That's tough. Struggling. How struggling? With all his energy that so powerfully works in me. So here's what it feels like. It feels like I'm working really hard. It feels like I'm toiling. It feels like I'm laboring. It feels like I'm struggling. But the very reason that I am struggling forward and not giving up is what? That he's renewing my strength, that his energy is working powerfully in me. So the energy of God that is spoken of here does not make a Christian feel that he or she is somehow soaring above the clouds. No, I toil, I labor, I sometimes feel discouraged, I sometimes feel exhausted, but here is why I don't give up. Here is why I keep pressing on. God gives power to the faint.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Collective Weariness. It's part of our larger series called Waiting for the Lord. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. John Aiello is the executive director at Open the Bible. And John, one of the things that has been fun to watch in the past few years is the reach of Open the Bible continues to expand. And currently, we are able to expand into a number of different places around the world.
Yes, yeah, Steve, doors have just opened up from the Lord to take the ministry here that we've built in the United States and take it to other places. We've now got partners on the ground in more than two dozen countries who are taking what we do at Open the Bible, the resources, the teaching, the books, the radio programs and podcasts, and localizing them, translating them, delivering them on localized websites, just reaching the people of their regions on behalf of Open the Bible and really on behalf of the Lord. And so this is just one amazing opportunity that we have as a ministry, and we're just grateful for the support of people out there that are helping us bring that to life.
Well, and it is the support of people out there who help make that possible, because there is a significant expense tied to this, isn't there?
Yeah, Steve, there really is. I mean, if you really think about it, these are places in the world where we're certainly not expecting to put something out there and generate revenue or sell things. This is all stuff that we're doing as pure investment in the gospel and in the kingdom. And so we're just grateful for those out there that help come alongside of us with that investment. And I'll just humbly ask, if international expansion and reaching people in other parts of the world with sound gospel teaching is something on your heart, maybe prayerfully consider a gift to Open the Bible this year. We'll put it to good work on that mission field, I can assure you.
Well, if you want to give a year-end gift and help us reach even more people with the gospel through Open the Bible, you can give online at openthebible.org or call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
God gives power to the faint. So there's the gift that God gives, and then, of course, the question is, and how am I to receive it? And notice that that's where we come in verse 31. They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. You hear God speaking that tenderly to you today. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, it means to look expectantly. It means eager anticipation. When I was a little boy, my grandparents used to come in my aunt's blue car every Wednesday at 6:30. And the reason they came every Wednesday at 6:30 was that every Wednesday at 7:30 was the prayer meeting. And we didn't have a car. They picked up either my father or my mother, and one of them went with my aunt, my grandparents. And my grandma always had sweets in her bag. And she was always 6:30 when she arrived. And I can still remember quite vividly my mother saying, "Where are you?" And I would say, "Watching at the window." Climbed up in my bedroom, next to the curtain, watching at the window. Grandma's coming. She's got good things in her bag. Eager anticipation. Looking expectantly. Those who anticipate the help of God will renew their strength. And laying hold of the hope that you have is the natural result of leaning into the truth that you know. You see, when you lean into what you know about God, that He really is your Creator, that He does not grow weary, you will look to Him, and He will give you strength. And look at what is promised. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. At least one of the commentators asks the question, isn't this the wrong way around? I mean, it seems like we're starting with soaring, then we're going to running, then we're slowing down to walking. What's next? Grind into a standstill? I mean, it's like we're going the wrong way, doesn't it? Of course, God never has it the wrong way around. Why is it placed this way? Let me suggest this to you. The strength for pressing on, whether it be running or walking, arises from what? It comes to us as we ascend by faith into the presence of the Lord and commune with Him. And that's exactly what I'm inviting you to do in just a few moments' time around the Lord's table. We come here to do more than remember a Savior who died. We come here to commune with a Savior who lives. That's huge. And remember as you come that in His humanity, He knew what it was to be weary, to be so tired that He could even fall asleep in a boat where there's a storm. That tired in ministry. And He knew as a young man what it was to stumble and to fall, bearing the weight of that cross after His back had been lacerated, His head had been beaten, His strength is exhausted. He stumbles and He falls. He's been there. But He's not there now. Where is He now? He's at the right hand of the Father in glory, and He's there for you, and He's there on your behalf, and He gives His Spirit, and there is hope for you in your struggle in Him as something of His divine power touches you in your human weakness, and strength comes to us as by faith we ascend into the presence of the Lord and we commune with Him, our living Savior. And here's what will come from that. As you ascend to Him by faith and you commune with Him, you will find His strength comes to you. That's what faith is. That's how faith receives. And you will just keep going. You will keep pressing on. Someone's going to be saying, someone who's skeptical, someone who says, "Oh, I wish that was true, but where's the proof?" I say to you today, the proof is all around you. Brother, sister, you are the proof. Look back on your Christian life and ask this question: how in all the world am I still a Christian today? Think about all the questions that have perplexed you, and some of them you've not answered yet. All the things that have disappointed you, all the things that have drained you. Look at all that you have come through and ask the question, why am I still a Christian today? And there can only be one answer to that question. You were saved because God laid hold of you, and you have been kept because God has never let you go. And His grace and His strength has been sufficient. And that just caught the mind of the imagination of John Newton, who wrote that wonderful hymn coming out of his own conversion, Amazing Grace. And he was gripped by the fact that after all that he had done, the wickedness of his life, that God in His grace would save him. But it didn't stop there. He was every bit as amazed that God would have kept him. And do you remember how he put it? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come, but it's grace that has brought me safe this far, and it is grace that will lead me home. That's the faithfulness of God, the eternal and inexhaustible God, the God who has come to us in Jesus Christ and who says to us in His Son, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Well, that's a great way to wrap up today's broadcast, by thinking of what it means to come to know the Lord personally, to experience the rest that He offers to each and every one of us. You know, some of you listening, you know exactly what Pastor Colin's talking about. You've experienced that rest. Maybe you need to experience that again, but for others who are listening, you're saying, I have no idea what that is like. I don't have that relationship with God. I don't know Jesus. I've never experienced that rest, but you know, I'd like to find out more about that. Or I'm ready to begin that relationship with Jesus today. Hey, if that's you, would you contact us here on Open the Bible? Our website is openthebible.org, or even better, call and talk to one of our staff members. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Well, for your gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Pastor Colin's brand new book. It is called Hike Through the Bible. It's 50 chapters, and it takes you all the way through the Bible story from Genesis to Revelation. And Colin, where did the idea of this book come from?
Well, Steve, that goes back a long way, actually 30 years, to a conference I attended in the UK. And at lunchtime, I just happened to sit next to a man who had given his life to serving as a pioneer missionary to an unreached tribal group in northern Thailand. His story was absolutely fascinating. He told me how he had met the tribal chief, how he'd built his own home, having been invited to live among these people, learned their language. I mean, I'm listening to his story. It was amazing. And then I asked him over lunch, Tony, I said, where in the world would you begin in explaining the gospel to people who don't even know who God is? And he said, we tell them the Bible story. And that really started me on a journey that's gone over many, many years, because God has introduced His Son to us through an unfolding story that begins in Genesis and it ends in Revelation. And actually, if we follow the contours of the Bible story, we have the best possible introduction to understanding who Jesus is, why we need Him, what He's able to accomplish, what He's done for us. And so Hike Through the Bible is very simply an introduction to the whole of the Bible story. It shows how it's all pointing towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that it's going to be helpful and encouraging for many, many people.
Well, we want to send you a copy of Hike Through the Bible as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give a gift of any amount online at openthebible.org or call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or online at openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
This is Pastor Colin, and I want you to know about a resource that will help you in your devotional life. It's called Open the Bible Daily. My colleague, Pastor Tim Augustine, takes what you hear on Open the Bible and he edits it into daily bite-sized chunks that you can read in your devotional time in less than 3 minutes. Every day, you'll find a verse of Scripture, a short teaching from God's Word, and an application that you can carry with you through the day. People who use this tell us that they read it every day, and I think that if you try it, you'll love it too. For more information, visit openthebible.org/daily. That's openthebible.org/daily.